Thank you, Chris, very much indeed. Let me just begin with a couple of thank yous. Thank you to Chloe and to Chris leading our sung worship. And to those who may not be as visible, we've got Sandy and Josiah and Mark and Ollie on the tech side of things coming to be with us on Christmas morning. Cameron and the welcome team who've hosted us and welcomed us this morning. Thank you to all of you. I mentioned at the beginning that we collect, or maybe I didn't mention. Yes, I did mention about the collections, I think. And Tear Fund is one of our partner charities here at Christchurch. And some of you, if you're in the church family, you will already know this, but if you're visiting, one of our church wardens, Graham Stewart, is halfway through rowing the Atlantic in aid of Tear Fund. He's literally about day 20. Is that right? Or anyway, he's about halfway through. And they row for 3 hours, and then they go beneath the rowing bench and lie and sleep for 3 hours. Then they get back another 3 hours rowing. They do that all the way across the Atlantic. If you'd like to sign up for the next one, form an orderly queue at the back of church at the end. But I just wanted to let you know, particularly if you know Graham, that if the connection, the satellite connection works, he's going to be interviewed on Radio 2 tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m., clearly, most of you will still be asleep if this morning's anything to go by, but if you do want to make an effort, 7:30 a.m. And if the connection doesn't work, Maggie, his wife, will be interviewed. So do tune into that or catch up on it later. I want to bookend what I want to say to you this morning with a couple of additional readings. And the first one is the reading of the carol we will use to close our Christmas Day celebration in just a few minutes' time. Hark the herald angels sing. The reason is that from this carol, and the third verse in particular, we've chosen our theme as a church for this year, light and life. So let me, if I may, read this carol to you. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful, all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. I don't know what Christmas says to you about God, but this year, as I've been reflecting on these words, my sense is that it speaks to me of a wholehearted God. And I think that is key in a world where we have become jaded and even suspicious of human leadership, where all too often human leadership oppresses the people they're called to serve, where all too often human leadership seems to seek its own good rather than the good of everyone, where all too often human leadership cannot be trusted in what they say. Time and again, in our own national media, we've heard the phrase, one rule for us and one rule for them. Four times in this carol, we read the words, glory to the newborn king. Once in the opening lines, and then in each verse, it comes as a refrain. And there's a little clue in the final verse, the words that I want to focus on, where Charles Wesley, who wrote this carol in 1739, writes, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild He lays his glory by. And here's our clue for why Jesus is a safe recipient of all the glory that we have to give. And it's simply this. Jesus is not captured by his own glory. He doesn't cling to it. He doesn't revel in it. He doesn't bathe in it. He doesn't regard himself as too significant to reach out for the other. Rather, he lays his glory by. That's a 18th century way of saying he just takes off his glory and puts it to one side so that he can become one of us. The thrust of Wesley's carol is what theologians call incarnation, literally the enfleshing of God. As we might say today, everything changed in Bethlehem, in that manger, when God put skin in the game, where God stepped from the realms beyond time and beyond creation into creation itself. And Wesley says in this carol that he was pleased to do so. Please don't think that Jesus came to earth because he had to, because it was a burden, because his work, his life, his ministry was going to be a drudge, like all too many people on the face of the earth approach their daily work. For Jesus, coming to be one of us was joy. I imagine all of us, maybe not the very youngest, but most of us, certainly the older we get, we understand how constraining these physical bodies can be. You know, how many of you, a bit like me, go around the house for half an hour looking for your specs and then find them on the top of your head? Am I the only one, or does anybody else do that? I'm sure there are a few. How many people who enjoy sport find the backhand is not quite as strong as it used to be? Well, if that is the case for us, born in these human bodies, what must it have been like for Jesus, who voluntarily occupied a body just like yours and just like mine, who could no longer move beyond the speed of light across time and space, but moved as fast as his legs would carry him, just like us? Charles Wesley is keen to talk about Jesus becoming one of us. And Wesley is even more keen to explain the benefit that that brings, the results and the consequences and the invitation of Jesus becoming one of us. He was born that human beings might not die. He was born to raise the children of earth, born to give them second birth. Hymns and carols in these days were written to teach people truth. And Wesley wants us to understand what Jesus brings, what light and life means. It means new birth. It means the promise that death has been defeated, and that even though these mortal bodies will one day die, for those who put their trust in Jesus, life is eternal. In our reading from John's Gospel, we heard that to become a child of God is not a birthright, but a gift. And this is the key to the phrase that we've used as a church as we've celebrated, light and life to all he brings. The very word brings, we saw at the beginning that quite a number of you here are guests and visitors. You've come, either you've driven across Bristol, you've come to Bristol, and no doubt you have brought something, a gift, something for lunch, whatever it may be. You cannot bring something without moving towards the person to whom you intend to give it. And so for those of you, and there may be some here, who continue to think of God as rather distant and static, I want to say to you that God is on the move, and he's moving towards you. He is approaching you to bring you light and life. And what he brings to all. The basis of this carol is the reading in Luke's Gospel where the angels light up the night sky over Bethlehem and sing and proclaim to whom? To the shepherds. The shepherds who were regarded as the lowest of the low in the society of their day. You couldn't get lower than shepherds. They were despised and pushed to the side. And God chose them to receive first the message of the newborn king. So I just want to say to you, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, what you fail to do, whatever you speak about yourself, what others speak about you, nothing disqualifies you from God's invitation in Jesus Christ. Now, Wesley knew, as well as most of you will know, that it wasn't the birth of Jesus that brings us our salvation. And the final thing that shows the wholeheartedness of God in his pursuit of us is not just Christmas, but that with Christmas, Easter becomes inevitable. In the words of that famous theologian, Arsene Wenger, Christmas is important, but Easter is vital. God entrusted himself to the tiniest, most dependent, fragile of frames, a newborn baby. And once the die was cast, as it were, once that birth happened, the cross was a certainty. And Jesus embraced it gladly, not just living our life, but dying our death. And that is the invitation for you, for those you love, and for those to the ends of the earth that we will never know. And that's why at Christmas we praise the Lord Jesus in carols. And we sing to the one who alone deserves it, the one who alone can carry it, the one who alone is worthy of our praise. And we sing to him, glory to the newborn King. We've got some emergency services on hand, just in case. But in the hope that we might not yet need them, let me just close with these words written by one of our church poets, Ian Wedd. He writes something amazing every year, and this is his poem for this Christmas. It's called 100 Times. You've heard this tale 100 times. In preacher prose or ragged rhymes, the manger and the donkey ride, the baby to a teenage bride. You've sat in church in candlelight, waxed lyrically through silent night, come faithfully, been told to hark the Bible words of light in dark. It's all quite nice, don't get me wrong, Christmas sweaters and familiar songs, pies of mince and mulling wine, it's great, it's fun, it's really fine. But when the candles fade to black, and when you're finally heading back to homes, to jobs, to kids, to friends, to lists of chores that never end, the dreams are flying somewhere hot, do you ever ask Jesus, so what? So what his birth in Palestine? So what this water into wine? So what that turn the other cheek? So what the blessed are the meek? So what to do with this new sun, with 20 centuries been and gone? If Jesus comes just once a year, then really, what are we doing here? Or was there beauty in that birth, that God as child would crawl on earth? Creator in created skin would sense our plight and enter in. And was there beauty in that life that walked our fears, our joys, our strife, with every step left prints of peace as captive hearts found sweet release? Yet even beauty on that cross where mortal eyes saw only loss, forgive them, Father, Jesus cried, and every tear was crucified. Oh, there is beauty in that tomb, the splendor of an empty room, where ugly death met its demise and new hope dawned with new sunrise. So hear this tale, eternal times, despite these failing, awkward rhymes. There is a God who loves your all, your ebb, your flow, your rise, your fall. He's closer than the air you breathe, whether or not you dare believe. So take this gift into the night. Jesus, your life. Jesus, your light. May God bless you this Christmas time with the gift of the presence, the power, and the peace of Jesus. Amen.